Blog Talk.
Good evening, everybody. So good to be back for another week for this episode of Health Talk. I am Donald Snowden, and I hope everybody had a wonderful week. I hope everybody was productive and got some major things done this week. Coming into the new year, a lot of times we have our resolution of things we want to get started doing, and we don't always either kick off on the right foot or we start off great. So I hope we're still in that stage where we're starting off great. I hope everything is going well. This new year is about really starting off and kicking off some great things. So if there's something that you're doing great this new year or this year, and you're taking your business to the next level, you're taking your life to the next level, you shoot a comment. Let's talk about it for a minute. But just to see what people are doing. I mean, you know, for me, it's really building this platform of wellness and health and finances and really just taking those things to the next level. My passion, those are the things that I'm very passionate about. And I hope you guys are touched into the things that you're passionate about and making life work for you. So let's talk about that. Drop me a comment if you will. Cousin John, Juan, Cousin Jonathan, Juan, what's happening? AJ, good to see you. Lewis, good to see you. Like I said, we'll be here every week. And, you know, one of the big things that we started off the year doing with our team and our group was the detox, this 30-day detox. I did mine back in November, lost about 17 pounds. We got people went in December. Actually, my cousin, he's been doing his. Should be just finishing up. Got just this other team that started on January the 5th. And so, you know, this liver detox thing is amazing. One is really helping people get their bodies back to ground zero, get their bodies back to where they belong in the sense of wellness and health, and just really getting the toxins and all of the crazy stuff out of their liver. And once you cleanse your liver and cleanse your digestive system, then you're better able to absorb nutrients, you're better able to feel better, you feel less fatigued. And if there are certain health challenges you're dealing with, whether you're on prescription drugs or taking over-the-counter or whatever the case may be, giving your body what it needs allows you to be able to alleviate a lot of those things. So the detox we have going on is super cool, and there's been a lot of great feedback, and the team is doing wonderful. The next one will start on February the 2nd. And so if there is anybody who, you know, it's really just looking to get healthy and really just looking to reset their bodies and cleanse themselves. You know, people lose anywhere from 10 to 25 pounds. They get off of prescription medication. They feel better. You know, all of this is within inside of 30 days. So, you know, it's very, very easy to do. It's just a matter of disciplining yourself and doing it, just like any other thing, just like the resolutions we set. And so, you know, for us, every month is about a new month. Every month is a new month. Every day is a new day. We got to get up and we got to get it. We got to do what it is we feel that we're called to do. Because if you don't, you're doing this world a disservice. You know, everybody has a purpose, and that purpose has to come out. And it's up to you to deliver that purpose to the world. Nobody else can do it for you. And if you don't do it, the world doesn't get what you're supposed to have. And now we're one less talent, we're one less level of creativity, we're one less thing that was supposed to be in the world, but you didn't put it out there. So if it's something you're supposed to be doing, if it's something you've been called to do, you have to do it. You really have no choice. And that's why I said, you know, drop comments, drop, you know, talk to us. Let's create dialogue. Let's talk about these conversations that we don't have all the time. We can have conversations about football and basketball and who's better than this person and who's better than that person. But let's have conversations about our life and how we can help each other just build to the next level and get to the next level. And because you never know what the missing pieces to your puzzle may be. And so, you know, health is not just about what you eat. Health is also about your physical, but also health is about your mental. And so many of us, you know, mentally just we don't have it. And we don't have it just because of situations and circumstances. I mean, we go through things in life and we lose, you know, we feel like we lost, and we don't ever realize that obstacles and trials and tribulations are part of your journey. They're not taking you from your journey. They're part of where you're trying to go. So you have to go over those speed bumps. You have to do the things that need to be done so that you can get to where it is you're trying to go. And you can't give up, you know. And, you know, I always, you know, I hold my homeboy Tone and his wife, I hold them in high regard, you know, because, one, he created this platform for me, and it was just doing a radio segment every week, doing a radio segment. Then it became, man, you got to really do this. You got to talk to people more. You got to put this out more. And he said, you know, I want you to do your own show. And then that started out, doing it every Tuesday on the radio. And then now we're taking it into this facet and also doing it on the radio at the same time. So, you know, it's just really the reception that I've been getting has been wonderful. And I'm like, why haven't I done this sooner? You know, but when the student is ready, the teacher appears type thing. And so as I just continue to work on myself and trying to work on getting better every day and continue to do personal development, which never ends, it's something that we have to do because why? Your mind is important. Part of my topic today is talking about depression. And do people know the difference? Do you know the difference between depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder? Do you know the difference between those? And do you know how they're treated? If you know, chime in. You know, help me out. You know, like I said, this is to create dialogue. This is to really get things out. Not for me to just talk at you, but just for us to talk together and really start to harness these type of conversations every Tuesday at 7 o'clock. And just know that for about an hour, we're just going in. You know, we're gonna talk about the things that we don't get to talk about or hear every day. We just create a whole level of dialogue, a whole level of different level of conversation. And so depression and anxiety, bipolar disorder, manic depression, any of those particular mental disorders, PTSD, all of those are associated with, of course, a mental disorder. But the ones that we don't always associate with is just the block that we have in our mind sometimes. Sometimes you get up in the morning and you're like, man, I just don't feel like it today. And you just have a challenging day. Is that a mental disorder? Or is that just you having a challenging day? Because we've bought this thing that we believe these stories that we tell ourselves, whether it's I don't have enough money to pay this particular bill, or I can't get to where I'm trying to get to, or, man, how am I going to ever get out of this rut that I'm in? How am I ever going to get unstuck? That's a mental disorder as well. But we don't look at that because so many of us deal with it every day, including myself. And when you really start to focus on it and really focus on how the mind works and understanding that it will believe whatever you say, your subconscious doesn't know right from wrong. It doesn't know good from bad. It will take and do whatever it is you want it to do. It's the conscious mind that we have a problem with. And if you learn to detach one from the other, better control your outcomes, because your conscious mind is the stories that you tell yourself. Your subconscious mind are a lot of the things and experiences that you've been through. And so that's why it's important to keep, you know, they say, well, keep negative things from around you, keep negative people from around you. You're right, because it is a real thing. You know, mental illness is for real. And that's one of the reasons why when, you know, the first thing they do when we have these mass shootings, they say, oh, well, it was this gunman who had a mental illness to go into a building and to shoot hundreds of people. Well, when you look at mental illness from the side of the military, we go to war, whether it's us shooting or being shot at, and kill hundreds of thousands of people. But that's not looked at as a mental illness. It's only looked at as a mental illness when you come home and you can't survive or function in regular society because of the things that you saw. So at one point in time, it's protection. Another point in time, it's just somebody went and shot up a church or just went and shot up a movie theater. You know, how do you differentiate that? And a lot of times when you try to have the conversation, then people start to take sides. You know, if it's a person in the military and they just shot, you know, 100 insurgents with an assault rifle, oh, he was protecting our country. You don't think that that affected him mentally? You don't think that there's a mental effect for him to be able to hold that trigger and just take down all those people and just think at the end of the day, wow, I just saved my country and there's no effect to that? Or that person that goes into that movie theater or that church and just shoots, or the guy like in Las Vegas who just shot 30-some-odd people, does he get the same rush as a troop, as somebody at war? Granted, it's going to be looked at differently. It's going to be talked about differently. But is it true that that is not the same thing? And so what we have to do is break down the layers and get to the root cause, because killing is killing. If you are, you know, a religious person, thou shalt not kill. But we have religious people who are in the military, and they've killed people. Is it looked at differently? There's a person who's a Christian, and he kills a bunch of Muslims, or there's a Muslim that kills a bunch of Christians. These are all religious people, and most of the religions don't condone killing. Some condone protection, but not necessarily just all-out killing of innocent women and children and people. So then you have to have that dialogue around that. And so mental illness is very important and is very real. And the reason why we can't get a handle on mental illness is because of the way it's being treated. You can't treat mental illness with drugs. They give you drugs, and when you read a lot of the or listen to a lot of the commercials and the side effects, the biggest side effect is suicide. So the same problem you're trying to treat is the same problem that's going to cause you. You may not harm anybody else, but you may harm yourself. Or you're so gone, just like real chill, real relaxed, that you're not even yourself. And so in that particular case, what's trying to help you get better can't help you get better. And so there's a lot of different ways now that when you look at rehabilitation and when you look at mental illness and how to really treat it, they do it with animals, service dogs, service animals. They do it with therapy. There's a lot of different outlets now that are being tried and used, and they've been around, but it's just more prevalent now because so many people are suffering. I mean, we just had Christmas holiday. We just had New Year's. We had Thanksgiving. That time of year, people are the most depressed. They had a whole year to get ready for these two particular holidays and the new year, and yet they found themselves in the same place that they found themselves last year, not being able to produce, not being able to be where they wanted to be, me included. And you look back and you go back and reevaluate and you say, man, why is it that we can't get to the next level? Why is it that we can't push ourselves? And why is it that we stay stuck for so long? And that's why it's important to have dialogue, because guess what? Somebody might say something on this platform, on this show, on this live, that just might click for you. Somebody may say something a certain way that just may click for you. And so that's why we get on and we have this platform and we have this dialogue. And mental illness is serious. And one of the ways that I really look at mental illness, and that we look at it from a health and wellness side, because this is the side that you don't often see. This is the side that's not often explained to you when you talk about mental illness. We always hear from it, okay, what did this person go through as a child? Were they abused? Did they have some tragic event happen in their life? What happened to get this person to where they are? And that's where we kind of start. And then we start to build a story. We start to build a case. But when we look at it, a lot of these people are normal people. You talk to their neighbors. You talk to their friends. You talk to all of the people from their community. They're like, oh, he was such a great person. I may have seen him act out one time. I may have seen him do this. I may have seen him do that. But all in all, he was a good person. I don't know what would cause him to do this. And so mental illness is an inside game, and it has to be addressed as such. But it also has to be looked at not as a mental illness. And I want to tell this story, and because of the platform, I'm not going to use any names. There was a person who I talked to a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago now, and they were like just really down on their life. Like, man, I just can't. I suck. I can't do nothing. I can't get my life right. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. Nothing seems to be going right. And then I don't have a great relationship with this person who's supposed to be important to me in my life. And because I don't have a great relationship with them, then I feel like I don't have an outlet to talk to anybody. And then I got this mental illness that I'm dealing with. And I said, hold, wait a minute. Who told you you had a mental illness? You do not have a mental illness. You're raising children. You are an entrepreneur. You're going to school. People with mental illnesses don't do those things. And not only are you an entrepreneur, but you're a high-level entrepreneur, meaning that you do things that 90% of the people can't do. And you do them effectively. That is not a mental illness. So whoever told you you had a mental illness lied to you. The only thing that's wrong with you is that you're going through life and you're trying to do something great. And when you're trying to do something great, you're going to have pitfalls. You're going to have stumbles. And the greater the journey that you're trying to get to, the harder it's going to be. And that's what we're not prepared for. And sometimes I don't knock anybody's religion or beliefs or anything. Promise me. I promise you I don't. But when I hear people saying, oh, that's just the devil trying to take me down, or that's just something trying to get in my way, or that's just something. No, it's not. It's part of the journey, because guess what? The more experiences you have along the journey, the more people you can connect with. When you can connect with people at the level they're at, and they can trust you and they can believe in you, that has nothing to do with somebody taking something away from you. It's just that we have to go through all these channels to get to where we're going to. And even when we get there, there are going to be more channels. There are going to be more things. And if you ever took the time, and I tell people, I challenge people with this all the time, just like I challenged the person that I spoke to. I said, look at celebrities, some athletes, and go back and read their stories before they were famous. Go back and look at how their parent was on drugs, or go back and look at how they slept in a cardboard box, or how they wore the same shoes for 3 and 4 years, or how they didn't even, in Tyler Perry's case, didn't even have shoes. Look at those stories. We need to start paying attention to those stories and turn the TV off, because when we see the people at their peak, we see the people at their height. Somebody like Colonel Sanders, who wasn't like 60-some years old when he finally broke, when he finally made it. He just kept trying. Somebody like Zig Ziglar, who was broke and in his late 40s before he made it. This is a journey, man. And that's why if we don't focus what we're called to do, nothing will satisfy us, and also we'll never make it to anywhere, because we don't have a destination. We live in survival mode. We live in, I got to get this job to pay this bill. I got to get this to pay that bill. But we come home from that job to just pay that bill or just make it, but then we turn on the TV and we sit in front of the TV, and then we start talking about how, look at this person, they're not better than this person, or look at that girl, or look at her hair, look at how she walked, look at how she talked. It's so non-productive. And then we get up the next day and we go back to the same place where we're just making it, instead of carving out some time to start living your own story, to really figure out what it is you're supposed to do. And it's okay if you don't know what you're supposed to do, but you'll never find out if you don't start. You don't ever find out if you don't start doing some soul searching, or just sit quietly. Sit quietly for like 15 minutes in the dark. Not meditate and do nothing. And just listen. That's when God talks to you, when you're still. That phrase, peace be still, that's what that means. You get so much knowledge and you get so much insight when you just be quiet. Go out in nature. Go sit outside. Look up at the stars and just look and just chill. Because why? You have to get inside of yourself. Everything happens inside of you. Nothing happens outside of you. We look outside for so many things. We look outside, oh, if we hit the lottery, maybe we'll do better. If we just get this job, maybe we'll do better. But we don't ever say, if I can just get better, maybe everything else will be better. And that was one of the things that Jim Rohn said. Jim Rohn says, don't ask for less problems. Ask for you to be better. You know, and that's the truth. Because now the problems that you have, you can deal with. The problems that you have, you'll go through them and they're going to be hard. But you always seem to make it. We always seem to make it. That one week, then you didn't think you could pay your rent. And you're still in the same apartment. You made it. Even if you didn't make the rent and you got put out, you're still living. It's all a journey. And then as you're going through your life and you meet people and you talk to people and you start to raise your platform and you start to raise your level of thinking, then the people around you start to change. And then you can look down at those people that were where you were and you say, guess what? Change your mindset. Let's work on that. Because a dollar not going to help you. You standing out on the corner just asking for money, that's an outside thing. What are you doing on the inside? That's where mental illness breaks you down on a day-to-day level. There's a lot of titles and illnesses that they put tags on so that, like Tone said, they can give you more drugs. The doctors can give you more drugs. They can make more money off of you and treat you like an ATM machine. But there is none for you having to look at yourself every day and saying, hey, am I living the life that I'm supposed to live based on what makes me feel full and fulfilled on the inside? That's how you overcome mental illness. From a nutritional aspect, we look at mental illness as a blood sugar imbalance, a chemical imbalance. Just like when you have alcoholics, you have some alcoholics that drink and they just real chill and they just lay down and go to sleep. And then you have some alcoholics that will drink and they run off the road, they're belligerent, they kill. I mean, it's like, it's different. It affects people different ways. And what happens is, like alcohol, it has a high sugar content. People who are addicted to sugar tend to have things like diabetes, but they also tend to have mental issues because the way that sugar processes, especially fake sugars, process in the brain. And it stops your pancreas and the insulin and the way that it creates insulin and makes insulin from working as it should. So therefore, you're creating an imbalance in the brain. And people who crave sugar, they have mental issues. And it's not that it's a bad thing. People who don't crave sugar have mental issues. I'm making a point to say that a blood sugar imbalance is a deficiency of certain nutrients. And when you don't have these certain nutrients in your body for long periods of time, the issues tend to get worse. And that's what happens when you go from just a little bit of being in a funk to a couple of days of being in a funk, to now you're depressed, to now you have anxiety, to now you have panic attacks. All of these things tend to snowball. You just don't start out depressed. Now, there are certain issues. You may have tragedies in your life. Someone dies, someone gets killed, and you go into a place of grieving. And you're not able to function as normal. But there are ways and there are things, but mostly time can pull you out of that. But when we look at like PTSD and we look at the nutrition that the troops get when they're off to war, they go in chow halls and they just eat, and a lot of the food isn't healthy. And so now they're not getting the proper nutrition. They're not feeding their brain. They're not having their omega-3, 6s, and 9s, which helps feed the brain. They're not getting they're getting food high in starch, potatoes, and all of those different things that turn into starch, that turn into sugar, sugary drinks and sodas and all of those things. And when you look at the American diet, you can understand why there's a high level of mental illness if you want to look at it from a nutritional standpoint. Because soda, 2 liter soda is 99 cents, but a 20-ounce bottle of Fiji water is $2.29. And you're just going to that job where you're just making it, and you're living a life and you're raising children and you're just making it. Which one are you gonna opt for? Or you drink Deer Park water, which is probably some of the worst water you can drink. Or you have an issue like what they did in Flint, Michigan, with the tap water, and then there's lead in the water. That also has a lot to do with mental illness. The fluoride in the water that we drink, the fluoride in the water that we bathe in, because it calcifies the pineal gland, which is your third eye in the middle of your head. That's why they got to give you fluoride at the dentist. You don't need fluoride. Fluoride, they say, oh, you need it to make your teeth stronger. That's what calcium is for. That's what vitamin D is for. That's what magnesium is for. You don't need fluoride. And so there's so many different things that are done to us. The environment, the chemtrails that are sprayed in the area. If you ever look up at the sky and you see planes spraying these white long lines, those are chemtrails. Don't let anybody tell you that's an airplane. Commercial airplanes, jets, they don't do that. They do it all day. You see these planes in the air all day long. So it's purposely happening to us. You can go look up, Google the Happy Bomb. There's a bomb that they can drop over a stadium that can turn people into homosexuals. There is another bomb that they can drop. And I'm saying bomb not as in blow up bomb, but just of gases, of different types of gases in the air. They can drop that and release that over a stadium and turn people into cannibals. I mean, it's amazing. But what they do is they rather just drip it on us. Then when you get into some of the neighborhoods, the inner city neighborhoods, the places like where we grew up, and you see things happening, and you think it's just the people. It's not the people. It's the situation that the people have been put in. Now, do we have to do our job to try to get the people out of that situation? Absolutely. But mental illness is a day-to-day thing, and we all suffer from it in some way, shape, or form, but if somehow we tend to look down on the people who may be strung out on drugs or who may be alcoholics, because those are some of the extreme cases. But we deal with it every single day. And as long as we look at it that way and we attack it that way, we'll do better. Because like I say, that's an inside-out game. What you tell yourself, what you speak to yourself, the people that you have around you, the regimen that you have, the things that you do, the things that you eat, all have to do with your level of health, mental health. And if you want to be better, you have to consciously strive to get better every day. There's never a time where you'll ever get to a place in life and you'll say, I'm all the way personally developed. It'll never happen. Because personal development is something that happens through day-to-day positive reinforcement, positive activity. And that's why the balance of nutrients, the balance of the foods that we eat, the balance of the water that we drink helps those things. But at the end of the day, we have to spend time with ourselves. We have to sit quietly within ourselves and really just evaluate and search for what it is that we need to do. And those answers will come to us. And then once you sit quietly for a while, then you can go into whatever it is that you do to reach out to the spirit world, whether it's pray, whether it's meditate, whether it's fast, whatever that might be, whether it's chant, whether it's sun gaze, whatever it is for you. But spend time with self. That's one of the things that when you look at a lot of these successfully balanced people, because you can say millionaires, you can say billionaires, but some of them just made money and they don't have balance within their self. They just have the dollars behind it. But when you look at the ones that have the balance within themselves, you look at their regimen. Look up Elon Musk, the one who owns Tesla, and the SpaceX program. I mean, super, super successful guy. And he has the most basic regimen. Look it up, Gary V, Gary Vaynerchuk. Super, super successful guy. But he has the most basic regimen. So there is no great, like, golden ticket to success. There is no great golden ticket to having a healthy mind. It's just finding what it is you're passionate about and don't stop doing it at all for whatever reason. Do not stop. Do not let life get you in a place where you can't see yourself anymore, because we all been there and some of us are still there. I'm there certain days. I have to admit, I'm there. And those days that I'm there, it's all I can do to get through that day and just read and turn on YouTube and just have YouTube playing on my earbuds. That's what I do when I walk around most of the day. And then those moments where I can just sit quietly. When I get up in the morning at 4 o'clock, 4:30, I just get up and I just sit still. And then I meditate and then I go on about my day. Those things are super important to keep your mind healthy, to keep that purge of trash out. We have to take our mental trash out every day. And we have to deal with them on a level that is effective. We can't comfort ourselves in saying, oh, if I watch this TV show, that's just going to help me. Because all that did was distracted you. Oh, I can't do this or I can't do that. If you go do those things that don't feed your spirit, that don't feed your passion, you kind of just doing yourself a disservice. Is it good to take a break sometimes? Yeah, it is. Is it good to just let go sometimes? Absolutely. But we let go for too long. We get a little bit of momentum going, and I'm famous for this. And this is one of the things that I've been working on for the longest time and feel like I've started to get a handle on. Is you get so much momentum in what it is you're doing, and then something just blindsides you, and it just takes you off track. You get so much momentum, and it scares you. And you're like, wow, is this for real? And that little pause, that pregnant pause, can just allow everything to just, you just start losing your mojo, as they say. And so we know it. We can feel it. We know when things aren't. We know when things are going well. You know when you wake up in the morning and you almost whistle because you know what your day is going to look like. You might be starting that new job. You might be going to get those keys to your new house. Whatever it might be, and you just wake up like, wow, all this hard work that I've put in to get to this point has now become a reward. And like we say in GE, our hard work don't go unnoticed. It may not be noticed from the outside world, but you notice it on the inside. And you notice it on the inside is when you hit those little strides, when you hit those little goals. And that's another thing that I've had to work with myself on as far as my level of mental illness, because I feel like I'm trying to get to a place. And you have this destination. And if I'm not, because I'm not at that destination, then I haven't done anything. That's how I feel. But then I always feel that way because you're never going to reach your destination. You're going to reach a destination that you wanted to reach, but then there's going to be another destination that you want to reach, and then there's going to be another destination that you want to reach. So you never stop reaching destinations. So you might as well enjoy the ones you do reach and recognize them. You don't have to wallow in them. You don't have to take days off. But recognize yourself when you make it to that particular destination, even the small ones. And for me, it took me looking back, like looking at my life and saying, okay, how do I get to where I am now? And I feel like I can see places where I was a particular place and I took two or three steps back and didn't even know I took two or three steps back. Why? Because I wasn't appreciative of where I was. I'm just like, man, I'm here, but I'm not there. And you'll do that for the rest of your life. It's like waiting for all the lights to turn green before you go down the street. You just can't do it. You got to go. You got to go. You got to stop. You got to go. You got to stop. You got to go. And as long as you don't stop too long, you're going to make it. As long as you don't allow yourself to believe the stories of the negative, you're going to make it. Do you need the negative? Absolutely, because that creates balance. You know where you don't want to go. So if you have positive thoughts all day and you're just cheerful and you're happy and then you just living chipper, and then something finally happens, it's going to break you down. It's going to tear you down. But we do have those moments where we get blindsided. But that level of being blindsided is part of the journey. You can never cross a busy highway without cars coming. But you get across. You may have to go two or three lanes over and step in the median, and you may have to go another couple lanes. You have some cars blowing at you. Sometimes some areas you might have to sprint, but you end up making it. And then once you get across the street, you still have somewhere else to walk to, but that was just a big hurdle, a big obstacle. And so we have to look at our own mental illness and stop just waiting for it to be titled by the medical system. Stop waiting for it to be a drug for it. Stop waiting for it to be some therapy for it. Because it all happens, the therapy's in here. And that's practicing positive thinking. That's listening to positive things. We live in a pretty much negative world. There is a lot of positivity in the world because you can see it. Random acts of kindness that people do. People paying off people's layaway. There was a story here in North Carolina of a woman who was homeless. And she went to Walmart and she worked a little bit, not at Walmart, but she had a job that she worked. But she saved her money throughout the year. And she went to Walmart as a homeless person, staying in a shelter, sleeping in her car, and paid $100 to pay off somebody's layaway. And we would think, man, how could a person do that when they're homeless? And that was about 7 years ago. And that lady right now has a store. And the only reason she got that store open is because the person whose layaway she paid off happened to be a guy who owned three grocery stores, who was going through a hard time. Because he was trying to get his stores open. And when you start a business, if anybody knows if you're starting a business, or any kind of business, it takes you about 4 or 5 years before you even hit a stride to see any progression in your business. Maybe except for if you're doing network marketing, which is a wonderful platform, by the way. But even at that, you're still going to have to spend 3 to 4 to 5 years to build a business. And in building that business, he fell on some hard times. And he said, I always put my kids' stuff on layaway because it's just easier to do, to make small payments instead of making these big payments throughout the year. And that lady happened to pay off the last $100 of his layaway. He hunted down and found out who this lady was, gave her a job, helped her open her own store, which is what her passion was. And so that's an inside thing. She knew something. She knew if she gave. She knew if she gave, even if it was her last, that there's a blessing that comes out of that. That hard work doesn't go unnoticed. And the best and worst things you'll ever do in life are the things you do when nobody's watching. You ever do something, you're like, man, I wish other people would have seen that. I don't even know how I got that answer right. I don't even think I was that smart. Or you think about taking something from the store and you look around and you know nobody's looking and you take whatever it was and you slip it in your pocket and you walk out the store and you're gone. And you think, oh, man, I didn't get caught. But you did within yourself. And that's the one thing. You can trick the world, but you can't trick yourself. And that's a hard lesson. That's a hard lesson I had to learn, and that's a hard lesson we'll all have to learn. And that's why we go through the trials and tribulations we go through, because you only know what you experience in life. That's the only thing you truly know. People can tell you, a thousand things. You can have the best mentors in the world. You can have some of the worst people in your corner that tell you, don't do this. Look what happened to me. Look how I turned out. Don't do this. And then you can have people saying, do this. But until you have those different level of love experiences that you have, it doesn't really mean that much to you. And so through this new year, and I wanted to talk about this early, through the new year, we're at the beginning of the year, and we're in a place where it's a critical time because we're still in January. It's the 9th of January. People still, if they had a resolution, they're still on their resolution. It's about 14 to 15 days that people fizzle out. And this is when it starts to get tough. This is when it starts to get hard. If you started a new task, if you started a new habit, if you started a new hobby, if you started a new thought or mind process, if you said, you know, I'm going to start meal prepping, and you start and you went and bought all the meals on January the 1st, and you had all your meals, and you prepped, and you got all your meals last you 7 days. Now, this is the second week, and it's time to do it again. And you're like, oh, boy, I got to go to the grocery store all over again. It was just easy when I could just run by the store or run by McDonald's, or it was just easier if I could just have something in the refrigerator. I just pull out a TV dinner or whatever the case may be. But now you're like, man, I got to go do it again. I got to go do it again. And one of the best things that I was a part of last year, going into this year, was my mentor. He set up a platform for us. And it was called 66 Days or 65 Days in a Wake Up. And so basically research used to say that whatever you did for 21 days became a habit. But that's not true. It's not 21 days. It's actually 66 days. And so he set up this platform, and we had to do the same exercise every day. We had to connect with at least two people every single day. New people, people you were following up with, people you met, but you had to connect with two people every single day. And not only did you have to connect with them, but you had to write about it. And in that, if you did it for 66 days straight, you were rewarded. And I accepted the challenge. And me being as competitive as I am, I didn't want to lose it. I didn't want to lose myself, because people watching you, when you got people accountable and or you have accountability partners, or you got people watching you and you set out to do something. And that's one of the things about telling your story and telling it loud, because people are going to start watching you. And they're watching you for a couple reasons. One, because some of them think you're going to fail. Two, some of them really want to support you but don't know what you're even talking about. And three, some people just there, just want to see what's going on. But in this particular platform that you set up, you started at day one. And at any point in time, you could have got to day 20. You could have got to day 30. At any point in time in those 66 days, if you did not post your interview or your two connections that you made that day, you had to start all over. And so I watched the group before I started. He said, get in the group, watch for a couple of days, watch for a couple of weeks, watch first and just see. And I did, and I saw some people. Somebody got to like day 17, and I'm watching, and then the next couple of days later, they come back and start over at day one. They're like, oh, man, I got to start. And I'm like, man, that's a lot of pressure. But every single day before I went to bed, I would write what I did that day, who I talked to that day, who I connected with that day. And what I found out was I connect with a whole lot of people throughout the day. I just never took the time to write it down. And I'm like, I do this already. Why? And you don't know. And then you start writing them down, and you start remembering the people that you met. You start remembering their stories. You start remembering the conversations you had. And then you reach back out to those people, and you say, hey, man, how you doing? How's your back? How's your dog? How's your kidneys? How's your cancer? Whatever it is that you talk to them about. And all you do is collect friends. And the more friends and people you collect, you never know what missing piece to your puzzle you might find. Like that lady who paid that guy's layaway off in Walmart. You just never know. And so that's why it's so important to just, we got to get out of our own way. And it's the hardest thing for us to do. And so that mental illness is a real mental illness, because we get stuck. We get in our way. And the days that we're not in our way, we're on fire. I mean, it's like nobody can stop you. You got a few dollars in your pocket. You're doing what you want to do. You talk to some people. You've made some connections. And that might go 3 or 4 days. And all of a sudden you have 2 days, and it's just like, wow. And then it's 3 days. Then it's 4 days, and you're like, man. And then you feel like you're back to ground zero. Then you start feeling yourself sinking again. Then you start having that pity party. And if you got the right friends in your corner who like pity parties, they'll show up with all the goodies, cookies and chips and cake and ice cream, and they'll have that pity party right along with you, because there's a whole lot of people waiting to have them pity parties. They love them. And then when you start to get up and you start to move forward, You'll see those people, they still there, man, what you doing? Oh, yeah, remember that time, but that happened the last time. You think you're going to still try to do that again? I got to do it. And so when I tell people during the day, if I talk to you or if we have a chance to text or we have a chance to message, and I try to say it a lot, have a wonderful day no matter what. No matter what, have a wonderful day. Find the good in the day. Find something good out of the day. Because if you can do that, then you have something to take to the next day. That's what helps keep that momentum going, finding the good out of the day. The other day I was riding along, and I lost power in my truck. And I'm like, what? I pull over to the side of the road. I'm trying to start my truck. It won't start. The battery light is on. And I'm like, I can't. This is a new battery. A state trooper pulls up. And me, I don't. Never really had a great relationship with police. But the state trooper pulls up, and it's cold outside. It was cold here and snowing. And she came out, and she said, what's wrong? I said, I need to jump. She said, okay. She turned her lights on, swung around, pulled her car in front of me, and gave me a jump. And that jump she gave me, I said, all right. I said, I'm going to gun my engine, you know, just try to keep it going. I don't know why it's doing that. I said, but it's a brand, the battery ain't but a couple of months old. She said, yeah, I don't know. That's kind of crazy. It may not be your battery. I said, all right. I said, well, she said, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going to try to get off on this exit down here and get over to AutoZone where I got the battery from. But that's like 10 miles away. She said, okay. So then she leaves. I gun my truck. I get down. I get off the exit. Then I feel it starting to die again. I watch the battery needle just go down. And I'm like, wow. Then I get to an Exxon station. And I'm able to just coast into the Exxon station. Then from there, I give somebody to give me a jump. I get my jump from there, and I take off again, and then I get up the street, and it was amazing how this was happening, because now I get to the sheets, and I pull in the sheets, and I wait a while, and people come by, and I got my hood up, and got everything all right, man? I said, yeah. He says, Lil Colby standing out here. I said, you're right. I said, but I need a jump. He said, really? I said, yeah. He said, well, let me help you out with that. You got cables? I said, I sure do. So he jumped the truck, and from that sheets, I got to AutoZone. Then I got to AutoZone, and the guy said, well, man, it doesn't seem like it's your battery, but let me give you a new battery anyway. So we change out the battery, and then we start the truck up, and it's still not showing 14 volts. It's still showing like 12 volts. And he said, yeah, it's got to be your alternator. I said, man. And I'm not close to home, and the tools, of course, that I need to change my alternator, 6 o'clock in the evening. So the tools I need to change my alternator, I don't have. The garages are closed. So I call my dad. I love having my dad in North Carolina. I'm telling you what. I mean, he always been here for me, and it's amazing. Like, being a grown man, he's still here for me. But I call my dad, and I'm like, man, I said, I'm broke down. I said, it looks like I need an alternator. And I don't have the tools I need. I need some sockets. He said, well, I got them here. I said, all right. So we get together. I take my truck to a place where I can pull it inside and work on it. He come out. We work on it together. I get my alternator changed. So in a 3-hour period of time, I went from on the side of the road to getting a jump, to coasting, to getting another jump, to coasting, to getting another jump, to getting to my destination, to finding out what was wrong, to being able to take my truck to another destination to fix it. And then it's been running great ever since. And I just looked at that the other day, and I said, man, that's just like life. If you don't tell your story, if people don't know that you broke down, they can't help you. We run around like we okay every day. We run around like everything is straight every day, and it's not. And you don't have to tell people all your business, but you just tell people where you're trying to go and why you haven't gotten there. Man, I just need a jump. Sometimes we just need a jump, man. And that jump may only get us so far. But instead of abandoning the car and saying, man, this ain't worth it, instead of abandoning your journey and saying, this ain't worth it, you tell somebody see you with your hood up. You being transparent, you get another jump. And it may take you 4 or 5 different stops before you get to where you're going, but that's part of life. That's an experience that you have that nobody can take away from you. The other part of that experience is that you know that if you just be in the moment, and still love people and still want to help people and still connect with people, things will happen for you. And as cold as it was, when your car don't run and it's seven degrees outside, your car get cold real fast. And I have a Yukon Denali, which will get cold real fast if you don't have no heat on. And so that's life. And I looked at that and I said, man, and then finally I got it fixed. And I was able to fix it myself. That's the inside game. Looking inside and saying, you know what? I took auto mechanics in high school from 95 to 1997. And those skills are still serving me today. So even when I try to get in my own way, even when I try to think that I'm not going to make it, or why am I going through this, or why is life doing this to me, if I just stay positive through the situation, things continue to happen. And then you know what you do at the end of all of that, at the end of the day, when you have a day like that and you finally get to the end of the day and you've been able to fix the situation, you just say thank you. All you say is thank you. You thank the universe. You thank the creator. You just say thank you. And you've been a level of gratitude. You've been a level of thankfulness. And even every jump that I got, I was like, man, thank you. Because it gets you to the next spot. It opens up the door for more to flow in when you say thank you. And so that was one of the takeaways for me this past week. And that's the mental illness that I say that when we talk about depression and we talk about anxiety, it's those day-to-day things that beat us down. And if we just continue to believe that negative story, then you get to where you classify. Then you get to where you go to the loony bin. But a lot of those issues start out really, really small and they just go unnoticed. Just like the time where you go to pick up the newspaper out the driveway and your back lock up on you. You're like, man, all I was doing was picking up the newspaper. No, you had problems long before that. That little cramp that you had in your toe, that little Charlie horse that you had when you finished playing basketball that day, that little headache that you had, that little crook in your neck that you had, all of those things mean something. And so, therefore, they should never go unnoticed. And we should look into them and just say, oh, I feel better now. And then when the big thing hits us, we're not prepared. And so that's why we should stay in a level of thankfulness, because that helps purge and clean your mind. But it also helps allow more to flow in. It also allows the people that you need in your life to flow in. And so I'm just, you know, I'm very grateful to just be able to have this dialogue with all of us and be able to talk about things and see people being able to chime in and just say what it is that's on your heart, man. I mean, I always pride myself every day on being a real person, being a transparent person, but also just being better than I was yesterday. I'm not perfect. I've made thousands of mistakes and will continue to make them. I don't always say things the right way. I mean, I always do things the right way. But at the end of the day, all I have is myself. We come into this world and we leave in this world. And if you don't ever get to where you're attached to yourself, you're going to miss a lot. And that saying that says that there are so many people, the most expensive place in the world is the graveyard. So many people still got their music playing. And that they were never able to get out to the world. And I just resided to say, you know, that can't be me. I don't have a choice. My mom died at 57 years old of cancer. Her sister died at 55 years old of a stroke, 56 years old of a heart attack. People don't even get to their 60s. We just had a friend who I grew up with just die in a car accident. I mean, it's just, you just never know. Life is just, you just never know. And so we have to get out of our own way. We have to find the things that we want to do in our life and that we need to do in our life. And most of us know them, but we've just been robbed of it from childhood. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, you can't do this. Or you don't have the proper resources, because there's a lot of things people want to do, but they just don't have the resources. They don't have the money. And that's where you get those jumps that I was just talking about. You talk to people, you connect with people, and you end up meeting somebody who needs exactly what you need. And then you realize that it's not about the money. They need you and you need them. And they're more than glad to give you the money because they got it, but they need what you have. So sometimes we focus on the money, but we need to focus on the passion, and the money will show up. That was another hard lesson that I'm still learning. And so, you know, one of my other mentors, Dr. Lewis, his mentor told him, and this is how I'll end, that you never know what you may say or do today or tomorrow that could affect millions of people. Or you never know what you could say or do today that can affect millions of people tomorrow. And so that's why I get on here every Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Sometimes it's about health. Sometimes it's about wellness. Sometimes it's about wealth. And like today, it's about the mental part of ourselves because we're in a new year. We got so much promise. We're 9 days into our book. For the next 300, we got a 365-page book, and we're 9 pages into it. And it's up to us what the rest of the pages will say. But I'm sure we have goals and we have aspirations, and we can't be the same people who we were last year if we want to accomplish those things. We got to be different. We got to be better. And so in order for that to happen is we just have to consciously be aware of the fact that we have to be better. You have to discipline yourself to know that, you know what? I got to be better today. I got to do better than I did yesterday. I got to make an extra phone call today. I got to stay up a little bit later. One of the things that I find that I love to do is no matter what time I go to bed, I still get up at the same time, and I like to make my family breakfast, lunch, and dinner before, I mean, make them breakfast and pack their lunch before they leave. That's my way of serving the world before the day starts. And you serve the people that are in front of you, the people that we often kind of take for granted, me included sometimes. But to show a level of appreciation to the people around you every day, because we'll show it to strangers. We'll hold a door for somebody. We'll talk to somebody in a grocery store. You'll have a great conversation with the people you don't know. Or you'll do things for the people you don't know. But how have you served the people that are right in front of you? And so to make sure that my son, I know, has a nutritious meal when he goes to school, or to make sure that he has good breakfast when he wakes up in the morning, that's important to me. That's service. And then throughout the rest of your day, you just continue to serve the world. And if you're serving the world, then there'll be people that are waiting to serve you. So we will be back here next week. I appreciate it. If anybody has any comments, please, please leave your comment. Please chime in. I would definitely answer them. If anybody needs to reach out to me, you can give me a call. My phone number is 919-599-0916. And let me see over here on the radio platform. If anybody has any questions on the radio, just press 1, and I'll see that you are queued in, and I can bring you in to ask your question or make a comment if you have a comment. Don't see any. But I really thank people for taking time out of their day, taking time out of their life to come spend a little bit of time. And just like I said, change the narrative. Have a different conversation than we have every day. Start a different dialogue. We're going to be here every week. And inbox me if there's a particular topic, a health topic you want to talk about, if there's a particular just topic in general you want to talk about, bring an audience and let's just talk about it. You know, that's one of, and trust me, I will research. If I don't do anything else, I research. From week to week, I'm researching the next topic. I'm researching the next thing. And I'm always reading. Which I hated reading. I understand why children don't like reading. One, because we don't start early enough with them reading, but two, they're not reading anything that they're passionate about. So if you want your child to read, find out what it is they're passionate about and then buy them books around that, and they will read. And you can't stop them from reading. So anything, just let's do this together. Let's have fun together, and let's just have a Tuesday night where we change the world. Every Tuesday from 7 o'clock to about 8 o'clock, we can make a difference. We can uplift some people. We can uplift ourselves. And like I said, you never know where the missing pieces to your puzzle may be. So with that being said, everybody have a wonderful week. I will see you next week. Same time, same station, Facebook Live, GI Radio, We're going to be here. I love you guys. Appreciate you. Good night.